Good morning to you all. We're glad that you're here with us at Grace Bible Church today. In our call to worship, we want to look at Hebrews chapter 4, just the first few verses. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. You know, one of the most important things as we gather together to worship the Lord and to hear the Word of God preached, to enter into singing together, to bring praise to His holy name, is that we take the Word of God and that we mix it with faith. That's the only way that profit can come. For a person to come to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, there must be a mixing of faith with the Word that's preached and communicated in order for there to be benefit. As it says right here, it seems that some of you have come short of it, as he writes to the Hebrews here. You haven't gone all the way in the understanding of the truth of the Word of God because it hasn't been mixed with faith. What a tragic thing it is for many people to be exposed to the gospel on a regular basis, to be exposed to preaching in a church perhaps, or maybe a co-worker at work that shares the gospel on a regular basis and never makes an impact in the heart and never comes to full fruition of accepting the truth that's being given. Why? Because it's not mixed with faith. We don't believe what we are hearing. We don't accept what we are hearing. And when it's not mixed with faith, the book of Hebrews goes on in this chapter to indicate, therefore there is no rest for you. That's the tragedy. There's no rest for you. How can you have rest without faith in the Word of God? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the Bible says. It's a tragedy, I think, for many to be exposed to the gospel. I think of young people especially that grow up in a church. We read about in today's books, a lot of books have been written in recent time talking about the number of young people that are leaving the church never to come back. How sad to grow up in a church and never come to faith in Jesus Christ. Never believe what's going on. They'll believe anything that the world says. Isn't that sad? Anything that the world says, anything that puts out there, they embrace it, accept it, bring it into their lives. And yet when the Word of God is preached, there's a wall that's built. A wall, I'm not interested in that. Because they think that somehow they're going to miss out on what the world has. But what they do is they miss out on eternity. And so our prayer this morning, as we've gathered here today, is that as you listen to the Word of God, that it will be mixed with faith. That is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not necessarily believing what the preacher says. It's believing what the Word of God says. That's what saves. That's what encourages. That is what builds up. That is what sets us in good stead so that we are prepared to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hope and pray that today we would mix with faith what we hear from the Word of God.
Amen. Let's take our hymn books and begin with number 417. 417. It's a good hymn about that points our attention toward heaven. Number 417, Face to Face with My Dear Savior. Number 417. Let's stand together to sing.
Face to face.
standing for prayer as our pastor comes to lead us this morning.
Let us pray. Our precious Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to gather together in your name and in the name of your wonderful Son, Jesus Christ, who loved us so, who in obedience to thy will came and shed his precious blood on the cross of Calvary, died there, rose again the third day bodily from the tomb, that we as sinners might have hope, that we might have life eternal, that we might have a resurrection life, a life free from sin. And Lord, we thank you, Father, that we have that through your Son, Jesus Christ. We pray today for those who may be with us, those here present in body and those that are listening by way of the internet or radio. We pray for them. And we ask, dear Father, that you would work in hearts. There may be some that are here without the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe they're trusting in religion. Maybe they're trusting in their own works. And maybe they're trusting in somebody. But Lord, we pray that they might come to trust in Jesus Christ alone. For in him they will find truth. They will find life everlasting. And so we would ask, dear Father, that your Holy Spirit would be at work in hearts and lives today. We thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have to gather together. Lord, we understand and know that there are many places around this world where they have to meet in hiding, because to meet together in a public venue would invite the wrath of those who would not want them to be there because they're Christians. Lord, we do pray for persecuted Christians all around the world. Lord, we pray for those especially in Iraq that have had to flee their homes to find places up in the northern part of the land, to get away from the terrorists that are seeking to snuff out their lives. Lord, we pray for them today that their hearts might be encouraged by the Word of God, that they might know that they have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and that friend is Jesus Christ. We pray, Father, for other nations around the world where Christians are being persecuted. We would pray, dear Father, that you would be near and close to them, that your grace would and mercy would be manifested in their lives. Lord, we think of our missionaries today who are serving thee around the world, and we think especially of our ladies today. We think of Tammy Detweiler in Austria. We pray, Father, for her, that you would continue to meet her needs. And Lord, as she plays a very important role in teaching children and working in the church there as a Sunday school teacher and also teaching adults and working with them, we pray that you would encourage Tammy's heart, that she would be faithful to thee, and that you would meet her needs, and that you would help her to be a testimony and a witness for thee. We think of Belinda Richter on the other side of the world in Papua New Guinea, and we pray for her as she ministers in the bush country. Lord, we thank you for the good news that the airstrip was approved, and now they can bring in heavier aircraft to be able to bring the supplies in that are so needed for their ministry there up in the mountains. We would ask, dear Father, that you would defeat the devil as he attempts to distract and discourage them. We ask, dear Father, that you would allow them to have a testimony bright and clear, that the light of the Word of God would go forth to those dear people there that need the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for Belinda today. We also pray for Miranda Rose down in Peru. We know, Lord, that this is their break week, and we just pray for Miranda. She's working with the church today and also ministering in homes. We thank you, Father, that now she's had the opportunity to be an active witness and testimony to embassy officials there in Peru. And we just ask, Father, that you would strengthen and encourage her heart as she prepares to go back to teaching, but also in her witness ministry as a Sunday school teacher in a new church plant ministry there. We just pray, Father, that you would encourage her to be a witness and testimony, and that you would allow her to have an effective ministry there. Lord, we pray for our ladies today, that you would be near and close to them. Father, we pray for Santa Rosa Christian School, for the Learning Center, for the Youth Athletic Club, the Projector Ministry, the Children's Bible Club Ministry. Father, all of these different endeavors of this church, Father, to reach out into our community and beyond. We pray, Father, that you would help us, Lord, to use every ounce of energy for your glory, that we might seek to support and to encourage your work, Lord. It's not our program that we're trying to push. It's your program, Father. And we ask, dear Father, for strength and grace as we seek to minister to those in our community and those that are outside of our community through the written word and through radio and internet ministry. We pray, Father, that you would be pleased to use this work to encourage hearts. Father, bless this service today. Lord, we pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in our hearts and lives to take the Word of God, and that we might indeed today mix what we hear with faith, that we might be able to benefit and have the blessing of your work in our hearts and lives. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Turn over now just a few pages to number 419. Number 419, we're marching to Zion. We'll sing verses 1, 2, and 4, first, second, and last of number 419. Turn out to number 437. 437. Beulah Land, number 437.
Songs in the night, songs of devotion, songs of delight, melodies ringing in my heart, singing, Jesus gives me a song. Jesus gives me a song as I travel along on life's luring, lonesome road. I can sing as I go, for there's one thing I know that will lift life's heavy load. When the shadows are long, he will give me a song as when skies are blue and bright. For each step of the way, each hour of the day, and songs in the deepest night. Are you in trouble? Distressed, is there no singing? All is unrest. Look up to Jesus, he died to free us. He will give you a song. Jesus gives me a song as I travel along on life's luring, lonesome road. I can sing as I go, for there's one thing I know that will lift life's heavy load. When the shadows are long, he will give me a song as when skies are blue and bright. For each step of the way, each hour of the day, and songs in the deepest night.
Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Today we're going to be concluding our series, short series that we have been doing on a spirit of anticipation, specifically dealing with the next thing on the prophetic calendar for the Christian, and that is the rapture of the church. Now, I said that in the very beginning of our series that over the past half century or so, there has been a sea change in the emphasis of the church in these last five decades or so, that has moved to away from the worship of God and moved to the worship of me. We've seen the celebration of me. Everything is geared toward me and not the adoration of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a very a sad thing to witness. We have seen this across the board in local churches all across America, where we celebrate self instead of adoring Jesus Christ. And that should be our heart and soul as we gather together to worship the Lord Jesus Christ, is to adore Him and to magnify Him. Self should be the last thing that we are thinking about, and yet everything today seems to be geared toward how can I please myself? Well, entertain me, church. You make sure that you entertain me to keep me happy. And what's happening today is we're seeing the results of that, which is that people are not happy. Because there is no satisfaction apart from a soul saved by the grace of God adoring his Savior or her Savior. That's the purpose of gathering together for church, is to adore our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to magnify the name of our Father, and to be taught by the Holy Spirit of God, the triune God, ministering in our lives, and we giving praise and adoration to Him. I want you to look at the last three verses of Hebrews chapter 9, which has been our text for the past several weeks. Verse 26, "For then must He often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once in the end of the world, hath He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Let us pray. Father, bless Your Word today. We pray, Father, for the work of Thy Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives. We ask, dear Father, that You would indeed give us ears to hear Your Word, and that what we hear might be mixed with faith. For we ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. We look, first of all, at the cause for the anticipation. The cause for the anticipation of the coming of the Lord. We said that there are three important words that every believer needs to know from the Word of God. Number one is the word propitiation. Propitiation is a big word. It simply means that God the Father was satisfied with the cross work of His Son, Jesus Christ, to the atoning of sinners, whereby God the Father could justify sinners to allow sinners to come live with Him. Sinners saved by grace. Propitiation means the satisfaction. God the Father was satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ. And there was a second word we looked at, reconciliation. Reconciliation is often, I think, misunderstood. Reconciliation is bringing a party into conformity with a standard, therefore making them acceptable with another party. All right? Now, that's not how we understand reconciliation today. Reconciliation today is, and by most people's standards, is where there's compromise on both sides. And when both sides compromise, then we can come together. But that's not how God works. God cannot compromise with us in our sin. If God compromised with us in our sin, then we don't have the blessed hope. We don't have a gospel worth listening to. We had to be brought into conformity to His will to His way, to His standard, therefore made acceptable with the Father in heaven, and now we can be reconciled. Lost sinners can be reconciled because of the cross work of Jesus Christ in our behalf, whereby I, as a lost sinner, are brought into conformity with God's standard. Justification. Sanctification. Go down the list of all the works that God does when we are brought in conformity with God's standard and therefore made fit for heaven. That's the biblical definition of reconciliation. And by the way, both of our terms, propitiation and reconciliation, and the third term, are the basis, the cause of our anticipation of Jesus Christ coming the second time, because that was His purpose of coming the first time. What's the third word? Redemption. Redemption is such an important word in the Bible. It simply means the paying of a ransom. The payment of a ransom in our behalf. And that payment fully made by Jesus Christ alone. There is nothing left owing to God the Father. The ransom price has been fully paid. We fully now know that in Jesus Christ there's nothing that I need to do. All I need to do is receive that work that was done for me. And when I receive that work that was done for me, I am made into a son, a child of God. Now, folks, you have to know those three words if you're going to know anything about the second coming of Jesus Christ. Until you understand why Jesus Christ came the first time, there is no hope of understanding why He's coming the second time. So that's the cause. Last time we looked at the cleansing effect of anticipation. The cleansing effect of anticipation. We looked at 1 John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, and we looked at the fact that the return of Jesus Christ has a purifying effect upon the children of God. It is a desire to be ready and to be pure. In other words, submissive to the Holy Spirit of God, working in our heart, in cooperation with the Word of God that we should be studying every day. Listen, folks, this book is precious. Are you spending time with something else? Are you taking the time to devote your energies to something else, maybe your technology? Oh, I want to tell you, when you walk down the street, I have done this so many times. If I see somebody walking to me with their head down like this, I make it a point every time. Hey, how you doing? They jump up. I think it's a sad thing to spend our life doing this all the time. What are you missing out on? Now, this has become important. I understand that. I have to take phone calls and I have to go answer my emails and my text messages and things of that nature. But you know what? It doesn't bother me to turn it off. It doesn't bother me to turn it off. Some people can't do that. Some people can't do that. They're bound. There are some of you right now that can't wait for that thing to bzz, 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 so I can get on there to see what's going on. Why is that so? We can't get God an hour on Sunday? Something wrong with that. We need the cleansing effect of God's Word. Cleansing effect. Don't let anything come between you and this book. Don't let anything come between you and God's Word, because He seeks to speak to us so He can cleanse us and make us fit. What is it the washing of that we're told? The washing of the water of the Word. That means you need to spend time every day studying God's Word so you can be cleansed. As you go along life's journey, you pick up the dust of this world. You pick up the attitudes. You pick up some of the philosophies that kind of stick to us. Dr. Hobbs used to put it this way, it's like a piece of bubble gum dropping in the sand. That's all we have here in Florida is sand. I watch kids all the time. I've used this illustration. You see them out at the ballpark, and piece of big old wad of gum will drop on the ground, and they go over there and they pick it up and they head over to the washing faucet. They go turn it off and try it. Guess what? It's not coming out. They can wash and wash and wash, but when you put that thing back in your mouth, you're going to have a mouthful of grit. That's the way your heart and mind is in this world. As you walk through this life, things just come. Well, that sounds pretty good. That comes into my thinking. And then as I journey on, something else comes along. That sounds pretty good too. Wait a minute. Let's go back to the book and compare it to the Word of God. If it's not a part of this book and what God says is good and is right and of a good report, guess what I need to do? I need to be cleansed. I need to be washed of that stuff. We are spending too much time today bringing wrong thinking into our minds rather than destroying wrong thinking. There should be a cleansing effect. You know how you fix up your house whenever you know you got somebody coming? Isn't it an amazing thing? We can live with things as long as nobody's coming to visit with us. I don't understand that. But anyway, we find out somebody's coming to visit. Oh, we got to get the place fixed up. Well, why can't we keep it fixed up all the time, you know? But you know what? That's the thing. Jesus is coming. Have we forgotten that? Where is the sign of His coming? Well, it's been a long time since Jesus left us. I don't think He's really coming back. I don't really believe what the Bible has said. You better. You better. He came the first time, and He's coming a second time. And for the church, He's coming. It's called the rapture. We've given it that theological term, the snatching up of God's people. The dead in Christ will rise first, then those that are alive and remain at that moment will be caught up together, and we're going to get our new bodies, and we're going to live with Jesus for all eternity. Folks, that's a wonderful thing. That's a wonderful thing. And it has a cleansing effect upon our lives. The anticipation of Jesus Christ coming back. I mentioned this last time. You don't want Jesus Christ to come back and find you doing something wrong. You don't want to find Him find you doing something wrong. That knowledge, that understanding, Jesus Christ is coming back, I want to be ready. I want to be ready for Him. Now, thirdly, today, I want to get into the comfort, and then finally, we're going to get into the climax of His coming, the comfort of the anticipation. Look with me, please, over at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 for just a moment. I want to draw your attention to a passage of Scripture here that's very common to all of us who study the truth of the upward calling of God's people. We're told, beginning in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again," that's the cause of the anticipation, "even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent," a better translation is, "precede them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord." What's that next verse? Very important. "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." We're awaiting the snatching up of God's people. We're waiting because we're going to receive our eternal inheritance. And this word comfort here is a very important word. It's a word that we have come to love and appreciate as Christians. It comes from the word paraclete. It's translated one who comes alongside. Here it's translated comfort. Paraclete is the word that's used here. Wherefore paraclete with these words. What does that mean? It means to come alongside another and encourage them. To come alongside and encourage them. Cheer each other with the prospect of the coming of Christ to take us to be with Him. When was the last time you went alongside somebody and just encouraged them about the coming of the Lord? Mr. O'Pager and I, we talk a lot about the coming of the Lord and the rapture and so forth like that. We encourage each other about that. You know, I don't know which way we're going to meet the Lord Jesus. Whether it's going to be through the shadow of death or if it's going to be through the upward calling of the trumpets. I don't know. But you know what? It's a comfort to know that He's coming. And we have a responsibility as we anticipate to come alongside each other and encourage each other. In camp this summer, during my week of camp, and I've got another week coming up this week, I appreciate your prayers as we minister to the boys and girls. But it's amazing to watch some of the kids. And there was one little boy, I won't share his name, that was, we were playing a game and he fell down and he got a boo-boo. And so being a good camp leader, you go over there and check on your charges, make sure everybody's okay. And by the time I got there, I already had another nurse that showed up. It was another little girl. She had seen him go down in the game that we were playing, and she went running over there, and she was over there, and she was providing comfort. All right? She went over there to make sure he was all right. He's the littlest kid in our camp. All right? And so she went over there to make sure he was all right. She was a paraclete. She came alongside. Now, she didn't do anything other than just say, "Are you all right? Are you okay? Have you got any boo-boos?" You know? She was just giving words of encouragement. I appreciate people like that. I would want somebody to come alongside me if something had happened to me. Maybe you come along somebody that's fallen down. I remember in college, we were walking on the sidewalks. It had snowed. And there was ice everywhere. And we were making our way from underneath the covered sidewalks, and we were fixing to go over to the dining common. And there was a group of girls. They were all holding on to each other, trying to keep from falling on the ice. And one of the girls just went, whoop, right up in the air, bam, hit the ground. She smacked her head hard. There were three of us on the stage crew. We took off running. We ran over there to check on her, make sure she was all right. And, you know, you should do that. You should reach out to help people. Make sure we got her back up on her feet there, made sure she wasn't hurt or anything like that, got her over to sit down on a bench so she could get recovered well enough to go on to lunch or whatever. But, you know, we need to be more aware of each other in this regard. We need to be aware of each other, that we need to be encouraged that this world is not our home. I think some people believe that it is. It's not our home. We're only here for a short while. And then sometimes God calls us on to be with Him, but we await the rapture, the upward calling of God's people with anticipation. And one of the greatest encouragements that you can be, and where we are failing in the church today, is that the doctrine of the rapture is not being taught. It's not believed by many as being a reality. And then some who might believe it think it's way off into the future. I remember hearing a preacher up in South Carolina. We were on vacation, and he said, the rapture of the church is way off into the future. How in the world could you say something like that? How can you say something like that? Listen, His return is imminent. It could happen at any moment. It could happen today. And you need to be ready, and we need to encourage each other. We need to come alongside and say, I know you're going through a difficult time, but isn't it wonderful to know that one of these days a trump's going to sound and we're going to be delivered out of this body of death? Boy, the older I get, the more things start going wrong. You know, I not too long ago, I was out here playing softball, and I did a crash landing at first base. I got home that night, and I was hurting in places I didn't even know could hurt. And I just said, Lord, I used to be able to fall down all the time, get right back up. But now when I fall down and I get back up, it hurts. It hurts. And things that didn't used to hurt, hurt now. Why? Because we're getting older. That's just part of it. Body's starting to deteriorate. I look in the mirror and I see wrinkles. I'm not supposed to have wrinkles, you know. You look in there and you look at the picture of what you used to look like 25 years ago, and you look in the mirror and say, what in the world happened? What in the world happened? Had one of the campers this past week. I walked down to the gym and walked in there. Mr. Brainerd, do you dye your hair white? I had to laugh. It was funny. I said, no, it came naturally. I don't have to dye my hair white. You know? You know what? I could go the Grecian Formula 16, I'm sure, and pull back some of the colors from the past, but I just figured, you know what? If God wanted my hair to be that color, He would have kept it that color, so I'm just be happy with whatever I have. No, I don't dye my hair white. That's just the way it is. It's a sign that I'm getting older. All right? It's a sign that I'm getting older. Boy, when I saw Kent walk in with his kids, all of them getting tall and big and sober like that. I remember them when they were just little teeny tiny babies. I held Ethan when he was a baby. He doesn't want me to admit that. But anyway, all grown up, senior in high school, going to graduate and go off to school. You know, we're all growing up, and we need encouragement in this world. Listen, you cannot watch the news without getting discouraged. Everything is going to hell in a handbasket. We have got more confusion and chaos in this world. We have got wars and rumors of wars. But you know what my encouragement is? Jesus is coming again. And He is going to make all things right. It's going to be 7 years of tribulation, but what are we going to be doing up in heaven? We're going to be having the marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to have the judgment seat of Christ. That's a judgment for reward. I pray that we have something to give to our Lord. I pray that we've got some gold and silver and precious stones whereby He can take those and make a crown that's fit for Him to wear for all eternity. But I want to tell you something. It's going to be glory by and by for God's people. And that's an encouragement. You say, well, you don't understand. I've just got so many problems. I've got bills piling up. I've got health issues. I've got problems with this and problems with that, and I'm having issues with all kinds of things. Let me tell you something. Get your eyes off of yourself. That's the biggest problem right there. All you do is spend time thinking about your problems. I'd get discouraged too if I was thinking about your problems and my problems too. What does the Bible say? Lift up your eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh your what? Help. But you got to get your eyes off of yourself. You got to lift them up and get them on to the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, He's coming. You ever look up into the sky? We live in paradise here in Florida with beautiful, beautiful weather, beautiful skies. Look up at nighttime and you see the beautiful stars. You look up during the daytime and see the blue skies. Boy, I sure enjoyed the cooler temperatures this week, didn't you? We haven't had those kind of temperatures for a long time, according to what the weather service says. It's beautiful. Look up in those clear skies. One day our Lord's going to appear. It's not pie in the sky thought. It's not weird. I know that the world laughs and scoffs at the knowledge of some kind of a rapture. Yeah, what you're looking for is a helicopter pullout. No, a helicopter's not good enough. We're looking for a Savior pullout, where we're going to go be with Him. And we're going to be delivered from this body of death. And we're going to be delivered from this world and the chaos and the confusion. And by the way, the world won't miss us. They're not going to miss us one bit. They're going to be happy we're gone. We'll have people rejoicing all over the world. Well, they're gone. Praise be to whatever their God is. But it won't be the God of the Bible. Listen, we need to comfort each other. And by the way, this word that's used here, comfort here, is given in the present active imperative, which means it puts it on the level of duty, ought, and must. Those are three words you need to get into your vocabulary. Duty, ought, and must. There are just some things that you ought to do. There are some duties that you need to take up. Now, I know that we live in a day and age where we've got all kinds of gadgets and gizmos that do all of our labors. All right? But you know what I found? We've got a washing machine we bought a couple of years ago. It's got all kinds of fancy things. It beeps at us. It gives you can set the amount of minutes that you want the washing machine to run. If you don't want 30 minutes, you can cut it back to 20 minutes if you want to. That's pretty fancy, but you know what? You still got to put the clothes in it. And you still got to put the soap in it. And you still got to go back over there and pull it out and put it into the dryer. And then you got to fold it and you got to put it away or hang it up. Still got to do the jobs with those kind of things. Listen, you and I have a job to do, and it's to encourage each other concerning the coming of the Lord. We need to take up that responsibility. It's a duty that we haven't been doing. It's a duty that the church has not been doing. We're not looking for His coming. Some people say, well, that's just a cop-out. No, it's not. The Bible says, occupy till I come. So we still have a role to play, but we still need to be anticipating His coming. That's the comfort, the coming alongside that's spoken of here in this passage. And then finally, the climax of our anticipation. The climax of our anticipation. Let's go back to Hebrews here, chapter 9. And I want you to look at that last verse, last phrase. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time. Now notice this, please. Without sin, unto salvation. without sin unto salvation. I want to look at those two phrases that are used there, little small snippets here of this verse, because this is the climax of the anticipation. Listen to this translation. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Now that's the climax. That's the climax. Apart from sin. Choris hamartias. All right? It's the word that they are unburdened further by sin. That's the promise. When He comes, there is going to be the unburdening of this sinful body. All right? It's going to be a coming that's unburdened by sin. We live in bodies of sin. We have wrong thoughts. Our eyes gaze on things they ought not to look at. We hear things we ought not to listen to. We say things that we ought not to say. Our feet take us places we ought not to go. Our hands engage in things we ought not to be doing. But one of these days we're going to be delivered from this sinful body. We're going to be unburdened because you see, for the child of God, our soul and our spirit have been transformed. But we're waiting for what? Transformation of this body. The unburdening, that's literally the word that's used there. The unburdening of sin. That's the climax. That's what we're shooting for in Jesus Christ, is the final deliverance from this body of death. Oh, wouldn't it be wonderful to have just one day, maybe just one hour in this world, where we're not fixated on the flesh? But you know what? The nature of our heart, the nature of our being is to be fixated on the flesh. And that's what Hollywood does. That's what Madison Avenue does with its advertising campaigns. It fixates our minds on the flesh. But you know what? We're going to be unburdened by that. That's the climax of the anticipation. Secondly, unto salvation. Unburdened. But that's not it. What's the rest of it? Unto salvation. In other words, the deliverance. We eagerly but patiently wait for the future manifestation of the glory of Christ as He brings us unto Himself physically without the burden of a sin-cursed body. Now that, folks, is deliverance. That's deliverance. When a person dies, their body is put into a casket. We have a funeral, a graveside. And we look at the temple that used to be their house. The real them, though, are not there. If they were a Christian, that soul and spirit were caught up to be with the Lord. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. But the body awaits that day. The body awaits. The spirit and the soul were not intended to live apart from a body. That's the way God created us. And He's promised us a new body. Don't be over infatuated with the body that you have right now. I'm speaking here to our young people. We get up in the morning and we stare in the mirror. Oh, you're so beautiful. I don't understand people that just don't love this face. And we spend time in front of the mirror. And we spend time making ourselves presentable. We do this, you know, make sure everything's in order, you know, make sure we got everything, make sure our socks match, you know. Sometimes I don't do too well in that in the morning. Get out the door, my wife said, "What in the world did you do this morning when you got up?" I said, "I just grabbed the first thing I could find in the drawer." And boys, oh boys, waiting for that thing to go boop, pop up there one day. And they're out there running, you know, building up the body, building up the body. Listen, don't get over infatuated with the body. In 25 years, you're going to be flabby and useless. Look at all the bodybuilders of the past. You know, what was that guy that used to be Mr. Universe? Jack Shalane, is that what his name? What's that? Lalane. Jack Lalane. He was a big bodybuilder in the 1950s. You know what he wore for the last 45 years of his life? He won one of those onesies that a mechanic wears. All right? Everywhere he went. Why? Because he had to cover up the flab. It wasn't big and strong like it used to be. And he would be in that mechanics thing. And he would show up, Mr. Universe, but he wasn't big like he used to be. What happened? What happened? You look at all these sports figures. Oh, they're big, they're strong, they can do just about anything. Don't get over infatuated with your body. What do you need to be infatuated with? You need to be infatuated with Jesus Christ. Because one of these days, He's going to take that body that you think so wonderful and beautiful and strong and fast, that you can jump higher than anybody else, you can run faster, and He's going to give you a new body so you can fully praise Him, unburdened by sin and the flesh. Folks, that's the climax. The climax is not more makeup. The climax is not bigger muscles. The climax is not running faster. The climax is not living to try to squeak out everything I can get out of this body and try to live to 155. You know, there's some people, you know, I'm just going to live to be 155 years old. And then they drop dead of a heart attack. Infatuation with this world and with this body and with this life. This is not the climax, folks. The climax is when we are unburdened and Jesus gives to us our new bodies, where our soul and our spirit and our body are fit for heaven. That's the climax. Now you say, well, that's all right, but it sure doesn't measure up to living here on this earth and all the things that this world has to offer. Listen, that is just passing. It's going away. You don't understand if you don't know that to be with Jesus Christ is the most wonderful thing that will ever happen to you. That's the most wonderful thing that will ever happen to you. And you must know Christ in order to have the blessings of the second coming, in order to enjoy the rapture of the church. My heart pleads with you this morning, if you're here without the Savior, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I pray that you'll turn to Him right now. You don't have to walk an aisle. You don't have to get up and do some kind of a special testimony. All you have to do is cry out to Him right now and say, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Cleanse my heart of wickedness and sin and make me a new creature like unto Jesus Christ, my heavenly Savior. And He'll save you in a moment. And He'll make you through His Son and through the Holy Spirit what you ought to be. He'll give you a love for this. He'll give you a love for the Word of God when you get saved. Why do people reject the Bible? Because they're not saved. That's it, in a nutshell. Well, I've known people that were saved. You didn't know them to be truly saved. I have never yet met a truly born-again child of God that didn't love this book. People that don't know Jesus Christ that have problems with this book. And we have shared with you the spirit of anticipation that should be in your heart. Would you question yourself today? Do I look forward to that trump sounding? Or do I have other plans? I want my kids to get married. I want to see my grandbabies. And I want to die. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Whose agenda are you following? Yours or God's? We need to have that spirit of anticipation, looking forward to His return. Would you bow your heads, please? Precious Father in heaven, we thank You for Hebrews 9, 26 through 28. We thank You, Father, for the cause of our anticipation. We thank You, Father, for the cleansing effect that it has in our hearts and lives. We thank You for the comfort that it means to us. And Lord, we look forward to the climax when we are unburdened by this sinful body and the flesh that besets our hearts every day, the temptations that come. Lord, how wonderful it will be to be delivered from all of that and to be able to stand in Your presence. But Lord, there will be no standing in Your presence apart from being stood right in Jesus Christ. That means to receive His salvation full and free. And I pray for those that may be here today or those listening by the way of radio or the internet that are without Jesus Christ, that they would turn to Him, that they would cast aside all the things that they're clinging to and embrace the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. Now, Father, I pray that You'd work in the hearts and lives of believers today. There's so many distractions. Well, we think about all of our problems and our difficulties and struggles, and we're occupied with the world today as it collapses all around us. We watch the home, government, nations collapse because they have rejected Thee and they have rejected the authority of the Word of God. That's the natural consequence that comes. But Lord, I pray that we would not be discouraged, but that we might encourage one another that You're coming again and You're going to make all things right. And You're going to rule and reign upon this earth, and we will enjoy Your presence for all eternity. That is the climax for the child of God. And I pray that as Christians we might look for Your appearing the second time. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen. We appreciate this good series the past few Sundays. We want to turn to number 165 as we conclude. Number 165, I thought of this hymn as our pastor was preaching. Amidst the trials and difficulties of life, we can still look forward to the future of seeing our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Life's storm or life's day will soon be o'er. The third verse says, all storms forever pass. I want to sing that third verse as we think about our Savior and the day we get to see Him. Let's stand together, number 165, verse number 3. Thank You for the hope that we have in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of His return. Lord, the hope that in Him all things will culminate, that Your purposes will be fulfilled, that Your glory, Lord, will be exonerated. I pray, Father, that as we live on this earth as Christians, we will continue to keep our eyes fixed upon You, fixed upon, Lord, the anticipation of Your return. And may that have an effect on our lives, on our witness, on our testimonies, Lord. And Father, we do look forward to the day where we see our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Lord, we can share the eternal glories of heaven, giving glory to His name. Father, now go with us and bless us this day. We thank You for the opportunity that we've had to be here. Pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Lord bless you.